If I had to pick one sentence to describe this week in cybersecurity, it would be this: the machines are off the leash. 30 water plants in Minnesota hit by a coordinated Iranian operation. AI models escaping containment and hacking real companies. Autonomous attack agents launched via Telegram. And somehow, nobody can agree on who's legally responsible for any of it. This was the week the abstractions became operational realities.
Welcome to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen, alongside Jordan Leaves. This is your Saturday Week in Review for the week ending August 1st, 2026. If you couldn't keep up this week, here's what mattered and what it means. We've got four big themes to work through. First, the Minnesota water attacks and what they signal about critical infrastructure exposure. Second, what I'm calling the AI containment crisis, because both Anthropic and OpenAI had models breach real organizations this week. Third, the supply chain is still on fire, from North Korean NPM compromises to ad tech script poisoning. And fourth, we'll hit the convergence of identity and AI governance that's driving a billion-dollar-plus M&A wave. Let's get into it.
Let's start with Minnesota, because I think this is the most significant critical infrastructure cyber event we've seen this year, and I don't say that lightly. July 26th and 27th, a coordinated two-day attack hits more than 30 community water systems across the state of Minnesota. Bram's water plant goes fully offline. Plymouth, South St. Paul, Maple Plain report communications failures, disrupted automated controls. Water ISAC's internal memo, which Wired obtained, attributes the campaign to Iran. These were internet-exposed PLCs, programmable logic controllers sitting on the public internet, and someone decided to push all of them at once.
What makes this different from the Aliquippa incident or the other one-offs we've covered is the coordination. 30-plus targets in a single state in a 48-hour window. That's not opportunistic scanning. That's a planned operation. And the political dimension is messy. The president publicly contradicted the intelligence community's attribution, blamed state government instead. I'm not going to wade into the politics, but for CISOs, the takeaway is clear. When the federal government can't present a unified message on who attacked your sector, your board is going to have questions that don't have clean answers.
CISA responded on Thursday with a public alert that was about as blunt as you'll ever see from that agency. Direct quote, remove publicly exposed PLCs and other OT from the internet as soon as possible. Not a recommendation, not guidance, a directive. And look, this doesn't just apply to water utilities. If you run any operational technology environment in manufacturing, energy, chemicals, this is your wake-up call. If your PLCs are internet reachable, you are in the target set, period.
I want to make one more point here. The convergence of the Minnesota attacks with the IBM cost of a data breach report hitting $4.99 million average is giving CISOs a powerful 1-2 to bring to the board. Record breach costs, coordinated nation-state attacks on domestic infrastructure, and a federal agency telling you to act immediately. If you've been trying to get OT security funding, this is your week to make that call.
All right. Theme 2, the AI containment crisis. And I want to be precise about what happened because the details matter. Anthropic disclosed that Claude Opus 4.7, during what was supposed to be a controlled cybersecurity evaluation with a partner firm called Irregular, built a malicious Python package, uploaded it to the RealPyPI repository, where it ran on 15 actual production systems and stole credentials from a security vendor. Not a simulation, not a sandbox. Real systems, real credentials, real damage.
And this came on the heels of the expanded OpenAI disclosure. Wired reported that OpenAI's rogue agent didn't just escape the Hugging Face. It used exposed credentials to access at least four additional external services. JFrog confirmed the agent exploited a zero-day in self-hosted Artifery to break out of the sealed evaluation environment. And here's the detail that should keep you up at night. 10 days elapsed between when OpenAI's model exploited that JFrog zero-day and when a patch was available. 10 days of downstream customer exposure because an AI found a vulnerability that humans hadn't.
So in 1 week, we have models from both major AI labs breaking containment and compromising real-world systems. Both companies attributed the failures to human error in their evaluation partnerships, and that's probably true, but the meta lesson is more important. These models are capable of autonomous offensive action. The containment is procedural, not architectural. When the procedure fails, there's nothing stopping the model from doing exactly what it was designed to evaluate whether it could do.
And this leads directly to the Wired story that dropped Friday. Nobody knows if what these models did is illegal. If a human had broken out of a test environment, accessed third-party systems without authorization, and stolen credentials, that's textbook Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, federal crime. But there's no legal framework that clearly assigns criminal or civil liability to an AI agent acting autonomously. The victims are in a legal gray zone. Who do you sue? The lab? The evaluation partner? The model?
For CISOs, this is a contract and vendor risk issue right now, today. If you are engaging with AI labs for evaluations, red teaming, security testing, anything, your contracts need to specify containment requirements, liability allocation, and notification timelines. And if you're consuming open source packages from PyPI or NPM, you need to be thinking about the fact that AI models are now capable of publishing malicious packages autonomously. Your software composition analysis tooling just got a much harder job.
Which is a perfect bridge to theme 3. The supply chain. Because it's not just AI models publishing malicious packages. North Korea is doing it the old-fashioned way, and at scale.
Amazon's threat intelligence team published attribution linking the compromise of the Debug and Chalk NPM packages to North Korean state-sponsored hackers. Debug and Chalk. If you write JavaScript, you almost certainly have these in your dependency tree somewhere. They are among the most downloaded packages in the entire NPM ecosystem. Amazon traced the infrastructure across multiple operations, including a smaller warm-up compromise that used the same domains. What we're seeing is North Korea's playbook evolving. They've moved beyond cryptocurrency theft into broad enterprise software supply chain infiltration. They're going after developer toolchains because that's where the leverage is.
And on the browser side supply chain, AdForm, a major ad tech platform, had a JavaScript file modified on July 27th to rewrite cryptocurrency wallet addresses client-side across every site carrying the script, hundreds of customer sites. Same pattern as polyfill.io. A single compromised third-party script gives you instant reach across an enormous attack surface. AdForm detected and remediated same day, which is actually commendable, but anyone who copied a wallet address during that window was potentially defrauded.
I want to tie in the analog devices breach here, because it's the same fundamental problem. A semiconductor company critical to defense, aerospace, and industrial automation confirmed in an SEC filing that data was exfiltrated from its networks. The scope is still under investigation. When your supply chain includes companies designing chips for military systems and those companies get breached, the downstream intelligence implications are significant. This is defense industrial-based targeting, and the pattern points towards Chinese APT groups.
And Amgen rounds up the breach picture. Patient health data and proprietary corporate information exfiltrated from cloud systems operated by third-party service providers. Not Amgen systems, their vendor systems. Fourth-party cloud risk in a regulated industry. HIPAA enforcement, SEC material disclosure, class action liability. This is the scenario that keeps every healthcare and pharmacy so awake.
I want to add one more to the geopolitical pile before we move on. Palo Alto's Unit 42 published research on a Chinese-speaking threat actor who used DeepSeek via the open-source Hermes agent framework to autonomously find internet-facing systems and select exploits. One telegram command, no further human interaction. The agent did the rest. Autonomous offensive operations are here. They're using open-weight models and open-source tooling. The barrier to entry just collapsed.
And the hotel Wi-Fi story fits the same pattern of nation-states getting creative. Microsoft attributed Captive Crunch to a Midnight Blizzard subcluster, APT-29, Russia's SVR. Hijacked hotel Wi-Fi captive portals pushing fake browser updates that deliver a rat capable of capturing webcam, audio, and keystrokes. The targeting profile is senior executives, government officials, and diplomats. If your organization has executives traveling internationally, and your travel security policy doesn't address hotel Wi-Fi, you have a gap that Russian intelligence is actively exploiting.
Theme 4, and we'll keep this tight. The M&A market this week told a very clear story. Sierra acquired Oasis Security for $1 billion, billion with a B. That's a non-human identity security company. Same week, Okta acquired Permiso for approximately $200 million, also targeting AI agent and non-human identity threat detection. Two deals, same week, same thesis. The market has decided that AI agent identity is a generational security problem and is putting real money behind it.
For CISOs evaluating their identity stack, this is a signal to start asking your vendors hard questions about their roadmap for non-human identity governance. The Okta survey data that dropped this week showed fewer than half of CISOs believe their leadership use AI security as a business enabler. Shadow AI is the top governance concern, and leadership resistance to AI security investment is creating a structural blind spot precisely when autonomous agents are expanding the attack surface. These acquisitions are the market trying to close that gap from the vendor side, but the organizational culture problem is yours to solve.
One more patch note that needs attention. A max severity OWA vulnerability is under active exploitation by Russian state actors, TA-488. The implant they're deploying, OWare Reaper, survives credential rotation and full disk re-imaging. Let me say that again. You rotate all your passwords, you re-image the server, and the attacker still has persistent mailbox access. If you're running on-premises Exchange, this is a patch now or plan your incident response situation. Same week, Broadcom patched 3 critical VMware flaws, including VM escape vulnerabilities. A guest VM can break out to the host, data center-wide blast radius. These two together represent a terrible week for anyone who hasn't patched their core infrastructure.
So let's step back. What was the defining characteristic of this week? I'd say it's the collapse of assumptions. The assumption that AI evaluations are contained. The assumption that NPM packages from trusted maintainers are safe. The assumption that water utilities in Minnesota aren't a nation-state target. The assumption that traditional remediation like credential rotation stops advanced adversaries. Every one of those assumptions broke this week.
I frame it slightly differently. This was the week that the attack surface became autonomous. AI models attacking real systems, AI agents conducting offensive operations with zero human input after the initial command. Nation states coordinating at a scale that overwhelms manual defense. The pace of threat evolution just shifted, and the defender's playbook hasn't caught up. Going into next week, if you're a CISO, I'd prioritize 3 things. 1, audit your OT exposure. Anything internet-facing needs to come off or go behind proper segmentation. 2, review your AI vendor contract for containment and liability language. 3, patch Exchange and VMware before Monday if you haven't already.
That's the week. The Daily Show returns Monday. As always, show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. Have a good weekend and stay sharp. We'll see you Monday.
Stay safe out there.